Hi there, folks. This is episode 65 of the Mel Wright Real Estate Agent Show. Unfortunately, my normal co-host, Jason Bates, cannot join us. But I've got another expert and a good friend of mine and of the show, John Locke, who is an experienced SEO expert, front-end developer, just a brilliant guy. So would you like to introduce yourself, John, to the audience?
Sure thing. My name is John Locke, and my website is Lockdown Design. I help people with local SEO as well as e-commerce, and I am on the other show with Jonathan, WP Tonic.
So. Yeah, that's my other side, folks. I do another podcast, and John is my co-host, and it's all about WordPress, which I will not bore you, my real estate agents. The last episode, and we do apologise for the slight break, but we've had some technical problems with a previous recording that kind of threw us. But we're back. And this is going to be an excellent show. So the last show, folks, we were talking about all the options you've got when it comes to actually getting a really good quality online website. And we went through a lot of options, folks. And I know probably there were too many options, but that's the market at the present moment. So you've got this lovely website, but how are you going to get a result from it? You know, I would recommend, when you're looking at those options, that you go for WordPress, because I'm a WordPress junkie, folks. But I honestly feel that would be the most flexible platform that you could use. But how are you going to get traffic to that website? How are you going to convert, get people to either get on a mailing list or some action? So what should go on that website, and what are the things in SEO terms that you've got to understand? You're probably not going to do these yourself, you might do, but if you do hire somebody, what we're hoping to give you in this is some education, so you might be able to assess somebody's suitability. So John, they've got this lovely WordPress, they've worked with a designer, developer, they've got a nice WordPress website, and they've got to get a return on that investment. What should they know about, and what's the road, John?
Well, definitely with real estate sites, look at what the other real estate agents in your market are doing. And what you're going to have to do to be better than them in SEO is go a step farther than what they're doing with their site. Now, every real estate site in the world, you have your listings, you have your MLS, you have all the houses that are in your market. But that's where most people stop. They don't really take the time to add extra value to their customers, to their clients on their site. So as you mentioned, one of the things you can do is definitely get people signed up on an email list. The email list is one thing that you always own. You can market to people directly, and people always open their email. So have some kind of incentive, maybe some sort of giveaway, like a PDF where it's 10 things that you should know before you buy your home or something like that, just to incentivize people to sign up. But when it comes to natural SEO, there's a few things that you can do that I've seen work with other real estate agents. One of them is to blog regularly about the local area, the neighborhoods that you're serving. A lot of people just list the various neighborhoods that they serve, and then they don't really do anything else. But the people that I've seen that kind of rise to the top over time, they will talk about news of like what's happening in their neighborhood, events that are going on, talk about, things that are happening. And the people who do it on a regular schedule, over time, Google rewards that. And if you're not a good writer, if you don't feel like blogging, you can do just a short video about things that are going on in your neighborhoods. This tells Google that your site is connected with those neighborhoods. Another thing you can do is, focus on backlinks. Get backlinks from local sites. That could be either a local chamber of commerce.
Oh, that's great, John. Could you explain why a little bit? Obviously, our audience are real estate agents, brokers, and mortgage brokers, and anybody involved in the property industry. Can you quickly outline why backlinks are important and why you're pointing that out?
Yeah, sure thing. So when Google ranks sites, they need some sort of criteria to, you know, separate what's number one, number two from everything else. So one of the things that they use is the content on your site. But the other thing that they use is backlinks to your site. Now, backlinks are when another website links to your site. So you if you have a social media account like a Facebook or a Twitter, you probably already have a backlink to your website there. Those backlinks are like votes for your site. And generally speaking, the more backlinks that you have to your site, the more relevant Google perceives your site to be. What's really important to know is it's good to get backlinks that are relevant to your industry. So if you have links that are locally based from a site that's about the neighborhoods that you're serving or the cities that you're serving, or if it's from a site that's about real estate or the housing market or something like that, that's going to be more relevant than a link from just a random site. So the more backlinks you can get to your site, the better chance you have of your site rising up in the ranks.
Well, that's great, John. So just follow through, folks. Now, don't get too hang up about this or worried. If you have, would, I don't know if John would agree with this. He's got a lot more experience on local SEO than I have, and I've got a fair bit, but John's got a lot more than mine. If you write good content and you plan the website and you have some connections with some work and also having good content, those black links will come anyway. Would you agree with that, John?
I would definitely say that. But definitely when you're producing, like, you know, content, whether it's blog posts, videos, or podcasts, like the one that you're listening to now, don't give up too early because it does take time to have people link back to you. Again, that's part of why you want an email list, is so people are aware of your stuff. You know, share your posts on social media. If you have a WordPress site, you can automate it. There are plugins that will automate it to where when you publish something new, that will go out to your social networks like Twitter or Facebook or Google+. So that's definitely something you can do. Another thing that you can do is use good imagery on your site, like photography. And a lot of people that are going to be in your target market are going to want to share those on Pinterest. So that's definitely something that I would encourage people to do, is to pin those to their boards. If you're using like good photography, that also is going to like keep people on your site and keep people engaged with that. So, you know, just write good content. It takes practice and it takes, you know, time, but definitely you're going to get backlinks and you're going to get people like interested in your site if you continue to produce like quality content.
But, and it's a big but, John, is a lot of agents say, you know, I'm swamped most, you know, making, trying to get leads into real clients, phone calls, shown houses, phone calls, you know, how I'm going to fit all this in. So, in your experience, how many, you know, I know it's really difficult, John, and I'm just asking for some broad advice here. Is how, you know, how many hours a week do you think somebody has to spend on a local site in this area maybe to get some results?
I would say, like, commit to what you are going to be steadfast in following through with. If you're going to write one blog post a week or publish one video a week, then commit to that. If you can do one a day or three a week, then that's even better. But I would say that, you know, content creation, I would say like at least an hour a day, devote to that. And think of it, don't think of it as like taking away from your work. You need to think of it as long-term lead generation and brand building, because that really is what it is. I heard a great quote from somebody the other day, and they were saying, it's not companies that make content. It's content that makes companies. You're creating the story of what sets you apart from every other real estate agent out there. Because I definitely see it. Yes, we're all very busy, but you have to set aside time to create these assets, which, you know, are your videos and your posts, which are answering questions that people have. A lot of people are very confused about, you know, what goes into buying a home or selling their home. And if you answer these questions via blog posts or videos, or even a podcast, or all three, then you're going to have people see you as an authority, and they're going to trust you and your brand above all those other real estate agents. So if you think about it like that, it really becomes something that you need to do. You can take a break from going to, you know, BNI or the network referral groups and you know, focus on building like long-term assets.
I think that's great, John. I think it was a great way of expressing it, actually. Now, when it comes to local SEO, I think there's some major differences between kind of local and regional and national, aren't there? Can you maybe quickly outline what some of the major differences between local SEO at the present moment are than a national company, maybe?
Sure thing. Local SEO in some ways is more difficult, and in some ways it's more easy. It's a little bit more nuanced. If you're doing good in local SEO, you might be doing good nationally. But, you know, generally nationally, you're aiming at a broader base. For real estate, you're aiming at a local base because those are the people that you're serving. There's many, many things that are on the checklist of local SEO that you need to focus on. One is making sure that you have a Google My Business page for your brokerage or your real estate agency. Make sure that you have that in place. Make sure that you have it filled out completely, that you've got photos, that you've got a description. Don't stuff it with keywords or, you know, try and, you know, spam like the description with lots of...
Can I ask a question about that?
Yeah, John? Yeah.
No, obviously, I totally agree with you. You know, it's once again the Google Business page. They've changed names periodically, but that's, it's a bit like all these online forms, Zillow, Trulio. Folks, totally fill it up, fill it the whole thing. Spend time filling it all. The other thing, John, I was seeking some advice from you, you know, in Nevada and many other states, to practice as a real estate professional, you've got to be a member of a brokerage, and you've got to have a principal broker who's licensed, and you work for that brokerage. I would strongly advise is to have a separate physical address, not use the brokerage address on that page, and have a proper, obviously you don't, the problem is you probably do not want to use your home address, nor would that be a vile. Got any tips or insights how somebody might get around that? I do you agree that it's not a good idea to use the brokers, because he's going to have multiple agents using that address. What's your feelings around this, John?
Well, as far as that, I mean, you can use a UPS box or something like that, but Google has said publicly that that's not something that they're wanting. So if you use something like that, be aware that Google expects someone to be there to physically help someone. You know, say if a customer, a client came up, they would expect you to be there. So if you're not going to be at the UPS store 24 hours a day, then don't list that, because that is a no-no.
So this is a difficult one, basically.
Yeah, I think for real estate agencies, it is a little bit difficult. You know, you can use the brokerage one. I would say, you know, it depends on the situation.
I think you're hinting is that it's not our ideal situation. So because of the changes, this is why this is why I brought John on, folks, because of his insights. Is that of all, it might be best you use the brokerage, not because it's the best solution, but because of all the choices you got, that's the best one.
It depends. If Google does recognize more than one business at an address, it depends on how your business is registered. So it is going to look at like things like that, like how you are registered in other places, like in official paperwork. So those are things to consider. So
it's smart, this Google, folks. So the other thing I would say to folks is that when you sort out what address you got to use, that you've got to make sure it's consistently on the website, maybe on all the pages, and on anything, on any kind of online presence like social media or anywhere, that you have the same physical address in the same layout everywhere. Would you say that?
Yes. What you're referring to is something that we call the NAP, which is the name, address, and phone number of your business. So if you're like an agent, whatever your business name is, your address, and your phone number, that should be the same on anywhere that's listed on Google Plus, on Zillow, on your website, on Yelp, anywhere that's going to appear. Something that I've used before with great success to manage all the myriad of places where your address appears is a service called Moz Local. That's moz.com/local. And this costs $84 a year, which is like, $7 a month. Pretty trivial. But what it does is you submit like a spreadsheet with all your information, like your business name, your address, your phone number, your website, your categories, all those things. And it sends it off to all the data aggregators. This would be your Axiom, your Neustar, InfoGroup, Merchant Circle. All those data aggregators then push those out to, second and third tier sites, and make sure that information is correct everywhere. So that's definitely one way to manage all those listings, because it's going to be really painstaking to go and try and change those. Claim all your find all your online profiles that are automatically generated as a business, and then to go claim them, and then to go, manage them and make sure all the information is correct. That's just using something like Moz Local, it's going to take care of like 90% to 95% of those hassles. If you want to go a step deeper,
John, before we do that, I think we're going to go for our break, and then we come back and discuss this in a bit more detail. It's just fantastic advice, John. So we're going for our first break, our only break actually, folks, and when we come back we're going to delve in and pick John's extensive experience on this, and you're going to learn so much, folks. Be back in a minute.
Buying or selling a home in the greater Reno, Tahoe area? I know the best CRS real estate broker, and that's Karen Conrad. And you can find her at KarenConrad.com or call her directly at 775-527-7021.
We're coming back, and we're going to delve some more into what John was saying. So you were talking about the Merchant Circle, and I call them directories, but you called them something else. And maybe you can give a quick outline of what, because I think this is another area where local SEO is a little bit different than regional or national, is things like Merchant Circle, Yelp, and their importance. Can you describe that? And you were also talking about this service from this company, Moss, and how they help you with all these, like Yelp and these other, what I call directory services. Can you give some outline why they're still important when it comes to local SEO?
Right. So And you're right. There's directories. We used to call them the internet yellow pages. These are all the secondary sites that list businesses besides, you know, Google Plus, Yelp, Facebook, the obvious ones. There's all these kind of second and third tier sites which list businesses. And what Google does is it looks at the information that are on these sites and compares it to where it is, you know, on your website and on Google Plus and Facebook, and says, if the information matches everywhere that this is found, then we can say with reasonable certainty that this business is in a certain location and their information is correct. But if you've got, listings where there's multiple addresses, say, you know, you've got your business listed with two different addresses or two different phone numbers or two different business names, then Google says, we're not so sure about this information. We're not so sure that this business is in the place where they say they are, or whether they service the area that they say that they do. So using a service like Moz Local, brightlocal.com is another one that you can use.
I have used them. They're more expensive. Well, I think the Moz, the secondly one you mentioned, it's actually a UK company, folks, but they, I have used them with clients when I'm starting with a client, when I was heavily involved in this. I used to use their services initially because I just found it more struggle with the right words here, but I used their service initially, and then I would go on to Moz. But they're both great services, aren't they, John?
Oh, most definitely. Usually what I do is I'll make sure somebody has the Google My Business page and their Facebook page first, and then I'll go to Moz. And then I'll kind of go to either something like brightlocal.com or WhiteSpark is another one that does something similar, where you can, you know, get those other citations. Now, these mentions of your business are what we call citations, where it's mentioning your business name. And here's the thing. It's a link back to your website. So, you know, you want to have more than just these in your backlink profile, but this is a good foundation. Some other things that you can do to get local links is find local events that you can sponsor. You know, find something that is going to provide a backlink to your website. Don't necessarily, you know, I kind of stay away from the sponsorship opportunities where it's, they're going to put your business name on a t-shirt or a calendar if there's no backlink to the website provided. I try and seek out the opportunities where there's some sort of like link that's going to be there for forever, linking back to your site. And if it's a local event, like whatever your city is, if you're in Reno, if it's a Reno event, that's great. If you're here in Sacramento and it's a Sacramento event, then that's all the better, because that's a local signal to Google saying you're involved in your community. What is on your site is relevant to your city. And so that means that your service is like a little bit more relevant to your city.
Oh, I think that's fantastic. And folks, do remember, if you listen to some of the back episodes, that obviously our focus is on technology and online marketing trends and services that will help real estate agents and brokers. But I've never said that, and one of the beauties of what John's just said is it fits into what we've said previously, that we don't say that you should dismiss more traditional marketing methodologies in the real estate industry. Going out to your community, joining organisations and talking to people is just as important as what you do online. I still feel it is. And what John's just said is your real world marketing should be very linked to your online marketing, and the two can work really quite well, can't they, John? And that was a perfect example, wasn't it?
I absolutely agree with what you're saying, Jonathan. And in fact, I try to be very involved in the local chambers of commerce here.
I don't know how you do it all, John.
I try and do it all. I mean, but you know, and think about it like this. There's so many real estate agents. There's so many brokerages. They're all competing for the same leads. And it's all going to come down to whose name comes to the top of the mind in your prospect's mind. And so you have to really think about this as it's all building your brand. Whether you're out there meeting people in your local community, whether you're out there at your local chamber, whether you're doing Facebook advertising, whether you're writing posts or putting out videos on your website, these are all things that are putting your name and your business name at the top of people's minds. And that's really 100% of the game.
So when we get back, so we've covered what I still call directories, their importance. We've talked about Google Business Page and why it's really important to fill that. You know, when it comes to Zillow and Twilio folks, actually filling in their pages, they're more specific for the real estate industry. They're both owned by the same company, folks. You know, realtor.com, you can go there and do the same. I would say they're the three biggest that go. I would not suggest that you utilize their paid services, folks. Not initially. I think there's better if you're going down the paid advertisement route. I'm a strong believer of Facebook. But I would definitely fill in the whole of the three sections that all of these specific portal directory websites for your industry offer, and fill. I'm amazed at the amount of agents that don't fill in these freely available sections of these three major industry portals. It's a big mistake, folks. John, I'd like to go on to reputation and how important it is locally that when it comes to people saying good things about you and how you should deal, what's effective ways of dealing with what bad things people say to you. Would you say on the local SEO front, reputation and what is called reputation management about how Google sees you is important? Could you give a description of what you feel about what I've just said and its importance to local SEO?
Definitely. So, you know, your reputation, what people say about you, reviews of, you know, your business, your brokerage, your agency, these are things which matter very much in local SEO. And in fact, Google doesn't just look at Google reviews, but it looks at reviews that you're getting on these other sites, such as Zillow, Trulia, Yelp, the Better Business Bureau, Facebook. These are all places where you can get reviews and, you know, say to Google, hey, like, I'm, you know, a really great real estate agent. I deserve to be up here. So, you know, if you have some sort of plan for following up with people after you, you know, sell their home or they buy a home from you and you follow up with some sort of email where it's like, you know, I'd really love it if you give me a rating like here. These are things which make a big difference in local SEO. Now, say somebody gives you a bad review. Say somebody says something negative about you. The best thing to do is take the high ground. Don't ignore, you know, those negative statements. But it's a great way to show, if you do get a negative review, the type of person you are and the type of business you run. You know, and I would say respond to them, be professional, be courteous, let them, you know, ask them how you could have done better. And just be the better person when it comes to that. Don't turn it into a thing where you're trying to fight them, because that just makes everybody look bad. So, yeah.
I think answering, courteously, your chance, unless it's extremely obvious that you're dealing with somebody that who's mentally unbalanced, is extremely difficult to persuade one of these portals to remove a bad review. It's very difficult. It's not impossible, but it's normally very difficult.
First of all, pretty close.
But getting in an argument online and having an extended thread is not also a good idea. What I recommend is that you don't reply to it either. I think that's not a good idea. I think what the right way is, what John said, is reply to it, reply with it with logic. Say that you know these are the steps that you tried to repair the situation, and these were the basic facts, and do it in a non-emotional, business-like way. Would you agree with that, John?
100% of what you just said, Jonathan. That's exactly what they should do.
And leave it to the discretion. Obviously, actually, having all 5-star reviews, and the more you have this, let's say you've got like 50 good reviews and they're all 5-star. Most millennials or most experienced online users will be highly suspicious of the credibility of those reviews. Would you agree with that as well, John?
I would say definitely the more 5-star reviews you can get, the bigger defense that is against the, you know, I think
we had a bit of confusion here. What I meant was if you got 67, you know, a lot, and they're all 5-star reviews,
right,
there's not one bad word said against you, that's a little bit suspicious, isn't it?
Oh, if you have all like a hundred in a row, like 5-star reviews. Yeah. I mean, I would say that everybody's going to get, you know, a review that's not a 5-star at some point.
It's just some people, you know, you just do not gel with. You instantaneously, that whatever you did for them wasn't good enough, wasn't up to their expectations, and you just cannot meet their expectations, can you, John?
No, that's true. But
there we are. But on the other hand, you know, I think this, what I meant, this is a very, I'm trying to find the right word here. If you've got 6 5-star reviews, what I've just said doesn't matter. When you get into like 12, 15, it might start affecting. When you get into 20, 30, and they're all 5-star, then this, what I've just said, might affect. But on the other hand, having just 1 review or 2 reviews is not a good situation. So one of the problems, folks, with Zillow and Trilio is they've got to actually register on the site to actually leave a review. And unfortunately, and it's the same with Yelp as well. I'm just going to say this and then try and see if John agrees with me. With Yelp and two of these biggest industry portal review sites, is that people have to register. And getting I'm not saying it's impossible, but you have to have a methodology. You've got to be proactive if you're going to get really happy clients to then register and leave a good review. It's much more easier for when people are angry. They will then are very highly motivated to go to one of these review sites and leave a not generous review for you. So be aware of the psychology that you're dealing with, that you've got to be more to get really the happy clients to go to these particular review sites that they need to register. You've got to have a proactive methodology. When it comes to Realtor, Facebook, and you do have to have a Google account, but most people do have a Gmail account. So I treat Gmail as a kind of hybrid. You do have to register, but a lot of people have a Gmail account. So Realtor, Facebook, and Gmail, I think it's easier to send a general person to those initially, and then you have a more methodical approach system when you're going to have to ask somebody to register. Would you agree with what I just said, John?
Yeah, and I'm going to give you a little insight on what I do when I try and get people to review. For me in particular, I try and get people to do a Google review. And I think for realtors, you're going to want to hit your industry sites like Zillow, Realtor, you know, Trulia. But if those people aren't registered, you know, I might say, you know, I usually give people about three links when I follow up with them and say, you know, could you leave me a review here? And I give them three links. You don't want to get them all on Google. You want to get like ones on, you know, different places. But one thing that I do is I kind of scout and see where people already are, see if I can find their profile somewhere. And then if I know that they're already there, say if I know that they're on Yelp, or if I know that they're on Zillow, or if I know that they're on, you know, whatever it is, I will send them that link because it's going to be more likely to stick. I want to share a little insight about Yelp too. A lot of people, they get Yelp reviews and they'll be there for a day and then they'll get filtered out to the not recommended pile to where nobody sees them. A lot of 5-star reviews get sent here. Sometimes 1-star reviews get sent there. The thing with Yelp, the people leaving the review, don't have people fill out the review when they're at your office because Yelp tracks the IP address. So if they fill it out like when they're standing in your office, they're going to think that you're offering them some sort of incentive and they're going to filter it out. The other thing too, if people have already left reviews somewhere else, or if they have a filled out profile or if they have friends on Yelp, that's going to be more likely that their reviews are going to stick. The people who have Yelp will prompt you to connect your account to Facebook. So the people who have done that, that have the photo, they have a couple friends, they've left a couple reviews, those are going to be more likely to stick. If you have just like the blank, you know, no person like face and you, that's your first review and you have zero friends and it's a 5-star review, that's going to be a lot more likely sent to the not recommended pile and never seen again. So
I think that's a great advice, folks. And an unshameable plug for Mailrite is that on our managed product, which is our most popular, is that we do this for you. We will pre-identify and see where the clients are, and then we utilize the Mailrite system to try and get a positive review. And that's part of the managed product that we offer, folks. So, John, I think we could continue the conversation a lot longer, but you've got a busy day, and we'll have you back in a month, a couple of months, and we'll discuss local SEO a bit more. How does that sound, John?
Sounds great, Jonathan.
Because I think it's really important, and John's got an enormous amount of experience with this, and I highly, if you're looking for SEO and expert that's also got a lot of front-end development knowledge, I would highly recommend John to you. So John, how can people get hold of you?
You can find me at my website, which is lockdowndesign.com, and you can also find me on Twitter, lockdown_. If you happen to be on Facebook, you can just look for Lockdown Design and you can like my page there.
And I'm going to try and get these show notes up instead of 2 weeks gap. I'm trying to get them up this week, folks, and we'll have the links to John website and contact details, so if you want to have a further job. So you, I am correct that you're quite happy to have a provisional chat with anybody for no charge, is that correct?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, I always, you know, take phone calls, that's not a problem. And then if it sounds like we're moving toward a project, I'll walk you through the process from there.
Yeah, I think John is very approachable and he's prepared to have like a 15-minute chat with you and then see if we can work together. Thank you so much, John, for coming on the show. And we'll see you next week where we'll be talking about more things that will help you build your real estate business and have success. See you next week, folks.
Bye.